The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Each and every day of the week, it's my privilege to have a guest either in the studio or online. Today I have in the studio with me Matt DeSalvatore, and he is with Creative Signs Incorporated. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
It's really great to have you here, and I know that you are a leader in the business that you lead. You're the head of this, and it's a family business, so I'm not sure when it originated. How many generations has your company been around?
Second generation. 40, all right. We're celebrating 40 years this year.
So this is something then that you've grown up with.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really great. What is it like in 2021 being a business owner?
It's great right now in the sign industry. We are very busy. COVID didn't really affect us much. We were considered essential, so we stayed working the entire time. Maybe a month into it, we got a little slow, but because of the nature of our work, we're on long lead times and we do permitting and stuff. But after that 1 month, things picked right back up again, and we've been busier than we ever have been.
Well, that's really good to hear.
Yeah.
You know, I would have thought that the sign company would have had the trickle down impact because of restaurants maybe going out of business or not needing their signs serviced. Do you do all kinds of signs?
Yeah. So our wheelhouse is kind of storefront signs, permitted stuff. So electrical, roadside signs. We don't really do like political signs, the temporary stuff. Just not our wheelhouse, but we do vehicle wraps and, more permanent stuff.
Oh, that is one industry that I've always loved, the creativeness of vehicle wraps. I mean, there are some things that I've seen, some vehicles that you wonder if they can actually be legal. They're wrapped with electronics.
Yeah.
And are like a, you know, I'm wondering how safe that is to be driving down the road where people are looking at the signs on the back of your car or the back of your van or whatever. And that sounds disastrous to me. But boy, normal type of signs that are done with the wrapping. It's amazing, isn't it, with technology, what you can do with all that.
It's crazy just to think about. My dad started the business back in 1981, and he went to commercial art school in Boston in the late 70s. And he used to hand paint trucks. So back then there was no vinyl graphics. There was no wraps. You know, it was just someone had a logo and you painted it on there, and then you painted all the lettering, you put the phone number, and, you know, he would chalk everything out and then go with a paintbrush and paint it all.
So it was all done by hand, and it was all real paint on real metal. And just in case some of our listeners who are hearing this are wondering, what in the world are you talking about, a wrap? You know, is that like a lettuce wrap? No, it's not like that. It is basically what Matt has just described. It is printing on a vinyl that is somehow heat shrink, a process where it just lays right over the paint.
Yeah.
And for the most part now, I don't think that ever really damages the paint underneath it, does it?
No, unless you leave it on for a long time, especially in the Florida sun, it'll bake on there.
Okay.
But if 3 to 5 years is what the manufacturer usually says. And if you take it off in that time, it'll actually, the paint underneath will be protected from the sun.
So. Because it hasn't had the direct impact from the rays and all. But it's really a great thing. And a lot of companies, just you drive down the road and it's really, again, it's a pervasive thing. Everywhere you look, there's going to be a vehicle somewhere that's got some sort of printing on it. And most of the time, it's the kind of printing that your company would do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you, any neon work?
We service neon. We don't do a lot of neon anymore. It's kind of a dying art.
It is.
Like the hand painting of trucks. But there is a resurgence of it. And there's actually some LED products out there that do a faux neon that look like neon, but they are the issue with neon is it is glass and it's very easily broken and expensive to replace the transformers and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I always think of, I did a program. I played guitar in a band that was for a tribute band. And there was the big name that was going on the back of this artist that was the tribute artist. And when the evening was over and all of us were packing up our gear and moving out, one of the guys in the tech crew did not realize that they were pushing a cart. Wasn't me, but I heard about it and I knew the guy that it happened to, and he ran right into that sign
broke
the neon.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And they have the way to fix it. It was fixable, but yeah, that was a painful one.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. The things that can happen. Matt, tell us a little bit about your background. Are you from this area?
I am. Yeah. So my parents moved here from Maine. Both of them lived in Maine.
Said they went to school in Boston. You said your dad.
Yeah. Yeah. He went to commercial art school in Boston. That's where he learned to hand paint signs. And they moved down here to Central Florida and started Creative Signs back in 1981. I was born in 1983. so I'm 38 years old, born and raised in Orlando.
So you know all about this area. It's home to you.
Yes, it is.
It's really great to get to talk to people that are like that. We moved down from Indiana, and Florida has been for long a home of people who retire here and come down here. So it's got to be crazy for your family. You did the same thing, though. You came down from the Northwest. Your folks did. And so here you are. You know, what do you like? What is your family? What did they like the most as you were growing up about this move to Florida? I'm sure you heard lots of comparisons.
So Maine, the town that they were in was Bangor Brewer. It's like St. Pete Clearwater or St. Pete mm-hmm. Tampa. They're across the bridge from one another and basically the same town. That's where they grew up. Just a small town, and my dad actually started a sign shop up there and did all the signs for every business within a year and then had no more business. Ran out of work to do, which is what brought him down here. And he started working for a sign company down here in the late 70s and then figured he did not want to work for anyone anymore. He wanted to go off on his own and bought a full page Yellow Page ad, which at the time was more than his mortgage to his house. And that was very tough for him to do, but he did it. And then the phone started ringing and it never stopped. And I know growing up, that was what I remember is my dad talking about how Maine, it was like, there wasn't enough business for him, but mm-hmm. here it was like, it was too much business.
So. Well, especially in Orlando.
Yeah.
Orlando has been a growing area since the early 70s with that, obviously with Disney coming in. And it is a busy, busy area. Lots of people continuing to come here. And now with all the crazy things that are going on in the world today, a lot of people are escaping the Northeast again, moving down to Florida.
It's true.
It's happening. So were your mom and dad believers? Or how is it that you came to know the Lord?
So good question. My mom, I couldn't tell you, I would have to have a conversation with her. I believe she was probably the first person in our family to get saved. But as far as her conversion and exactly when it happened, I can't really put my finger on it. So that's something I'll have to talk to her about. Mm-hmm. My dad was later on. So my mom kind of was praying for, I've got two brothers, two sisters. So five kids in my family total. And I grew up going to, my mom would take us to church every once in a while. We were more like Christmas and Easter, mm-hmm. go to church. We grew up, I remember going to Catholic church because my dad was very heavy. Like we go to Catholic church and I think my mom converted to Catholicism. And I grew up going to church every once in a while. I remember even going to youth groups and stuff like that. And if you had asked me when I was in middle school and high school, if I was a Christian, I would have said, yeah, absolutely. I'm a Christian. You know, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me. But it was not evident in the way that I was living my life. You know, I was out, especially in high school, partying, drinking, doing drugs. And even after high school, going into community college, same thing, hanging out with the wrong crowd. And then, again, during this whole time, my mom was definitely praying for me, knew I was on the wrong path, saw all the signs and everything, the fruit in my life or lack thereof. And,
There's probably some bad fruit there.
Absolutely.
I think there was something there.
Yeah. And a friend of mine invited me to Northwest Community Church, to see his brother get baptized. And this friend that I was that invited me to go with him was not going to church at the time either. He and I were actually partying together, and he invited me out, and I was like, yeah, you know what? Reluctantly, I said, yes, I'll go to this, because I knew his brother as quite a bit of a partier as well. And I like, this guy's going to church now. Yeah, I'll go check this out. He's getting baptized. Wow, this is kind of weird.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Last time I saw him, he was, you know, at a party with me. So I went reluctantly, and the buddy that invited me, we both got invited out. So the one that was getting baptized, I went up and talked to him afterward, and just seemed like a different person. So. And I had just gone through a really bad breakup with a girl I was with for 2 years, and I was at a low point in my life, and got invited out to a Bible study that just happened to be in my parents' neighborhood, which is where I was living at the time with my folks. So I reluctantly said yes to that as well, because, you know, what I told myself, it's in the same neighborhood, it's just right down the street, so I'll go. And at this Bible study, and my friend that invited me to the church, because he didn't want to go by himself, he got invited as well, but he was like, he didn't want to go to that. Like, he was just coming to see his brother get baptized. He had to bring me along. And
this is a story I've heard so many times before. That person would be a conduit to get you in.
Yeah.
And then the person that invited you, they kind of fall off by the wayside.
Yeah. Well, the one that fell off by the wayside, the conduit, he ended up getting saved, I don't know, 8 years later.
Oh, wow.
But he went through, you know, we kind of separated at that point. I went to this Bible study, met this group of guys that I just had never experienced before. These were Christians that were genuine. They didn't just talk the talk. But I saw the fruit in their lives. I saw their marriages. I saw their kids. I saw, it was like, if I could copy and paste something that I wanted in my life 10 years later,
it's well said,
it would be that. And I had never experienced that before. The churches that I had been to before, it was just, you show up on Sundays, you crop and edit yourself to make yourself look like this in front of everyone that's here. And then you just go back to your normal life doing whatever you did. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. But this group of guys, they would, the accountability was a new word for me. They would hold each other accountable. They would, you know, what are you struggling with? They would pray for you. And guys were transparent, open, and honest in these groups. And
so they were taking the gospel message very seriously.
Yeah. And I had never experienced anything like that. So I went on one of these things they called an encounter at this church. And I believe that's where my conversion happened, is I heard a message on the cross for the first time that it really, I saw it and was like, wow, okay. It's not just, oh, I know Jesus died for me, because he died for everyone, but it was personal. Mm-hmm. It was, I deserve that and much worse. And he did that for me, and he gives me his righteousness, and he takes my sin and takes the punishment for that sin and gives me righteousness in return. And it didn't make sense, but I was accepting of it. And it was after that, I was changed. I remember times of like trying to go out to a nightclub and trying to go out and do the things that I once did before. And I didn't have the same appeal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't desire it like I once did. Not that I didn't struggle with it and I didn't, you know, it wasn't a temptation, but it changed.
Mm-hmm. You were different.
Yeah.
You know, this thing you're describing, this thing of having a group of people that are around you and you've got a relationship with, this thing of accountability, this thing of really praying together, that is all making up with what should be happening in every church around the country. We should have involvement with people who are helping us and caring for us. What you experienced in the 70s and eight, or for you in the much later than that. But this for me was happening in the 70s when the Jesus movement was really happening. And I saw an excitement in people's lives. And I'm so grateful that you got to experience that too. And now many people will say that when they walk through something like what you did later on, life kind of just gets into a rhythm. And they might walk away from some of that, but it sounds like you've stayed very much in the effort of keeping that a vibrant part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I still have distractions for sure.
Well, who doesn't? Yeah,
I've got a wife and four kids now. Not that they're a distraction by any means, but I one thing I think of is, you know, I used to go out to the malls and just witness, you know, just share the gospel with random people. And it's been years since I've done that. And, that's why I was really interested, and excited about this, opportunity, because I think it's, and I might be getting into the next segment here on it.
That's okay.
But, it helps me cause I can't wait to be able to share this with, people that I do business with. Cause there's people that I do signs for that have no idea. I mean, they may have some sort of inkling that I'm a Christian, but we've never had any spiritual conversations or anything like that. And I'm excited to be able to share this on my LinkedIn and mm-hmm. on my Facebook. And, you know, I'm going to even do an email blast out to all my clients, and they're going to be listening to me talk right now.
Yeah.
About this. And I'm, that's what my real draw to be here was, is that I've been praying for a way to connect my ministry, or my spiritual conversation with people that I haven't had a chance to bring it up to in a business sense.
Well, I tell you, it is an exciting thing to see people who are on fire as you are and really living the life and wanting their life to make a difference. I think that's just the simplest way to say it. And the only way our life can make a difference is if we're applying what we do every day, not just something that we do in that 1 hour and a half, 2 hour block on Sunday mornings, but every day of the week, our life is full of purpose. And that's what you're living, and that's what you found. And it's a joy to have you here. I can't wait to talk more about it in our next segment. Matt DeSalvatore is here today from Creative Signs. We'll be back with Matt. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike, and this is The Shepherd. Talking to Matt DeSalvatore here. Matt is with Creative Signs Incorporated in Central Florida. You know, it's really great to hear the story of a man that was affected, changed, and really incredibly changed in an encounter, a weekend encounter, where he feels like that's when he really gave his heart to the Lord. And all of this after being invited to a local church for basically a baptism service, watching somebody that's a friend be baptized. There was maybe a little bit of surprise and shock that this, what God had done this thing in their friend. But that starts this chain, Matt, of you coming to know the Lord in a very dynamic way. And we were talking during the break about your upbringing, and it was in the Catholic Church. And you were telling me the story, which is an amazing story of one of your sisters. And I think it's really good because it has to do with forgiveness, and it has to do with what we as parents can think we're doing, but we're actually not doing. And I think it might be encouraging to people to hear this.
Sure. So I was talking about my dad and how, when I got saved, he and I would have conversations afterward, and I would bring up certain scriptures and stuff. And I remember one time specifically, I brought up a scripture and he didn't really agree with it. And he said, I don't know how I feel about that. And I was, Dad, it's in the Bible. And I didn't really try to argue with him a whole lot on stuff, but I would just ask him questions and just kind of get his point of view and stuff. And, you know, I think that was starting to have an effect on him. But what I believe, and I would have to talk to him to clarify this for sure, but where the rubber really met the road with him was my older younger sister, because I've got two younger sisters.
Mm-hmm. The middle would be like a middle sister? Then.
Yeah. Yeah,
or
yeah.
The middle child, rather.
Yes, she would be the middle child. Mm-hmm, yeah, absolutely. Because I've got an older brother and then two younger sisters and then a younger brother. So her name's Ashley. She went on a encounter at the church as well. And there's a session on forgiveness, and I don't know the statistics, but I think it's something like 70, 80, maybe 90% of people are forgiving a father. And my dad, phenomenal. Like, I didn't have to forgive him. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy that, you know, there's five kids in the family and each one has a different perspective. But I've got so my sister Ashley, she goes on the encounter and she had to forgive my dad because she grew up and her hobby of choice or activity of choice in high school was the Future Farmers of America. And she raised sheep. And my younger sister, Lindsay, she did gymnastics. And my dad wasn't really interested in Future Farmers of America. He was more interested in the gymnastics mm-hmm. thing and really gave my younger sister a lot more attention. And my sister Ashley didn't get that attention. And when she went on the women's encounter, she, during that forgiveness session, she had to forgive my dad. Mm-hmm. And part of that is they tell you, if this is someone that's still in your life, they're still alive, the next step to this is going to them in person and telling them, hey, I've kind of held this my entire life and it's affected me into adulthood. And she did that. And my dad was, I believe, really caught off guard by it. But I think that conversation with her and seeing each one of his children end up going on these encounters and changing and getting saved. But I think that one conversation with her was a transition point for him, and months or years, I'm pretty bad with timelines, but somewhere down the road, my dad ended up going on an encounter as well. And, we're talking about a guy that was, you know, going to church sporadically, and now he plays in a worship band.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just awesome to see that what all started with my mom, and then she was praying for all of us, and then God had me go on this, or actually God had me go to this church just to go see this guy get baptized. And then the trajectory of that, each one of my siblings ended up getting saved, and then my dad. And it's incredible. Now, every other Sunday at my church, my youngest brother plays in the worship band, and my kids get to watch him. And when it's his Sunday to play, they're pointing up to the stage and saying, that's Uncle Danny. That's Uncle Danny. And I can't wait to tell them the story of how he was once lost. And I was yearning for him to be here on a Sunday. And now when I'm worshiping, I'm seeing him up there. And a lot of times it'll bring me to tears just thinking about where he was and where mm-hmm. God has him now. And it's,
that's a beautiful thing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And I'm feeling the emotion of your conversation even as you're telling me this, because it is so true. When you think about the grace of God in one's life, where he brings us to and from where he has brought us, where we were when we were lost. And, you know, you were telling me that your dad would have thought he was a believer, and but then you get a real encounter with the Lord, and you realize that what you thought you had before, well, that was nothing compared to what God is doing now. And God bless the pastors of churches everywhere who are obeying the Lord, opening up doors, preaching the word of God, so that people like you and me, when we walk into the doors, as messed up and broken as we were when I walked in a building years ago, heard the gospel really for the first time, and I was broken in half, man, and never the same again.
Yeah.
Thank God for that experience.
Absolutely.
My goodness, that's wonderful. And all of your siblings as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really, it's got to be something neat. So here you are now, Matt. You're a businessman. And one of the things that you love to do is to see how God's going to use you on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
How does that work for you? What does that look like?
So, I started to talk about this a little bit in the last segment. It's actually been something that I've been praying about. And when this opportunity came up, I didn't say yes to it right away. I actually told Brittany.
And this opportunity is you're coming on my show.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah. Coming on the show, Brittany had told me about it. And I said, I would love to say yes right now because I'm really excited about this, but I have learned that I say yes to so many things that I spread myself so thin that I let my wife know, hey, I'm on this board now and I'm doing this and I'm a part of this chamber, and it spreads me so thin that I find myself not being the husband that I need to be and not being the father that I need to be. So now I run major things past my wife. And
a very smart man you are.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's right.
So I did, and we talked about it, and I think I said, you know, babe, I think this is an opportunity that God is presenting, because I have always wanted to, because I've got one of my mentors, the guy that was leading the Bible study the day that I went that first time, that I told you about years and years ago, that I said, man, these guys walk the walk and talk, they don't just talk the talk, you know. He's actually my best friend now. He was the best man at my wedding. I moved into the house that I live in now because he's my neighbor and I'm that close to him, and I want the accountability in my life. And he is there for me on so many different levels. And he owns a car dealership, and he really flies the flag of I'm a Christian with his customers, ones that walk in for the first time. He's got a Bible verse in the back right behind his head that's right there that just lets people know. And I've always kind of struggled with that of at what level should I be this business owner with, I'm in the process of taking this over from my parents, this business that they've had for 40 years, where I do see my mom have spiritual conversations with people that come in, but it's almost someone says something and then she realizes, oh, they're a Christian, or they'll say, wow, you guys are really busy. And she says, yeah, the Lord has really blessed us. And then if they jump onto that, then she'll have a conversation with them, where this friend of mine, this mentor, he just flies this flag that, hey, I'm a Christian.
Like a smack you in the face type of thing.
Unapologetically. And I just have wrestled with this, and it's what I've been praying for is, God, where does, because I don't do that. I have clients that probably have no idea that I'm a Christian. They might think, Matt's a great guy. He's wonderful at signs. I call him up and he gets me what I need for signage, but I've never even come close to the topic of spirituality, Christianity with them whatsoever. And and some of these people that I've had relationships with for years, and I have, what I was praying for and talking to my wife about is, how do I bridge this gap, and what is the way that God would have me do this? And then this opportunity comes up and Brittany says, hey, we'd love to have you come on the show. All that we ask is that you share it with your network. And I tell that to my wife and I'm like, this is the answer. This is me taking this and putting it on LinkedIn and sharing it on Facebook and sending it out to my contacts, everyone that I have emails with, sending it out to them and saying, hey, I was on this radio show. Check it out when you get a chance. I got to share my story on there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to come on here and they're going to listen and they're going to get to hear my testimony for the first time. And so I was really excited about this opportunity. So I am walking it out. And this is part of me walking it out.
Right.
So thank you for the opportunity.
Well, you're certainly welcome. And I think that everyone has, you know, whatever level of grace that God gives us. But I believe we're all called one way or the other. We're all called to share the gospel. And I think it's just a really incredible thing that you're willing and excited about the fact that even though maybe you haven't done as much leaning into this as you would have liked, I think that there are styles and there are personalities and all of those things have to be taken into some consideration, but none of those things keep us from the call that the Lord has given us to be a witness for him. I mean, that's what it was in Acts chapter 1. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, the old version says, or to the ends of the earth. You know, we're to take the gospel everywhere and be ready in any moment. And you just, you know, this could just be for you, Matt, the first step of what's going to be now a new way of dealing with this issue with your clients.
Yeah.
But our mutual friend, Mark Goldstein, Mark wrote a book on marketplace ministry, and that concept, ever since, you know, since I've moved back to Orlando, I've always believed that we all have a role, and not, you know, a lot of people have this mindset wrongly that the real ministry work is going to be done by full-time pastors. That's just not the case at all. And it never has been the case. Yeah. Ephesians 4 says that the real role of a pastor is to equip the saints for service. To equip the saints. Well, who are the saints? Well, those are the people in the marketplace like you,
yeah,
who own business. And it's not just business owners. It's business people. It's people who are employees. So we're all called. That's why I love Mark's book so much, is because, number one, it emphasizes the fact that we are called to minister the gospel where we work. But then the other side of it, of thinking is that it changes our concept of what real ministry is. Because we, again, if we think ministry only what happens on a Sunday morning, then we have really boxed that in, and there is wonderful ministry that happens just in talking to another person.
Yeah.
And for you, it opened the door to a whole bunch of activities that ultimately caused you to get saved, brought you to that place. That's pretty cool.
It is.
So what are you going to do now, man, when your life starts changing and people start asking you? You know, that'd be a cool thing if that happens.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back and take me back, if you will, for a moment to what was going on or what is going on with you with regard to your church. And you've been a part of this church now for a number of years. And in fact, I know the pastor of that church years ago, Mark Evans, a friend that I've known for a long time. After all of these years, are some of the same concepts, the same accountability kind of network still there today?
Yeah, absolutely. I still attend a group once a week, and we are accountable, and we pray for each other, and the group has grown, different guys, where I was the guy coming in and getting prayed for, I'm still that. I go to a leadership group where I go and I get prayer, and you know, with this guy who's my mentor, his name's Rory, where I'm so close to him, you know, if my wife and I get in an argument and I'm being prideful and I need some correction, she can go knock on his door and say, hey, Matt is acting out. He's messing up. I need you to go give him a talking to. And
I think a lot of people in churches would hear that and they would think that's like completely foreign to my way of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I enjoy it. I know this guy. I mean, I've known this guy for 15, 18 years.
You have
years.
A relationship.
Yeah, him. Absolutely. And I know he, when he comes in for correction with me, it is only for my good. He's not doing something to just point at a wound and laugh at mm-hmm. it. You know, he's pointing at something and saying, hey, let's correct this. Let's make, and he's a little bit further ahead than I am. His kids are a little bit older than me. He's been married, you know, 5-10 years longer than me. I don't know exactly how long. So he's just a bit ahead of me where the stuff that I'm struggling with, he just struggled with a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, don't walk that way. Walk this way. This is the easier path because I walked that way and it's not the way to go.
We're going to catch up more with that in a moment when we return for our final segment. My guest today is Matt DeSalvatore with Creative Signs. And this is a fun talk about things that are real, things that are supposed to be happening, I believe, in the life of every believer, in the life of every church. That's what we want to see happen. And we pray that it does with you as well. We'll be back with him in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Back one more time with Matt DeSalvatore from Creative Signs in Orlando. This has been a fun discussion. Number one, because of the fact of how real you are, Matt. And I really like that about you. A lot of people have grown up in a church and they believe they're saved on the basis of their church involvement. But you've really seen through that it was not that that brought you to the Lord. It was a personal relationship and it was a personal encounter with the Lord that made you to be a believer. And I've also been excited, and we've been talking a lot about this in segment two, about the fact that the Lord brought you to a place where you could actually, like a seed that is planted into the ground, it has the nutrients all around it to make it grow. And that seed does grow, and it grows up under the beautiful sunlight of that God's creation. And as believers, we are to grow too by that nurturing our surroundings of our environment. You had that.
Yeah.
And you've had people in your life who are not only there to encourage you, sometimes they've been there to correct you. And when that happens, a lot of people, I believe, avoid that altogether, because it is. We all know people who have been heavy-handed in their correction. They've stepped beyond their bounds. And there's a lot of people who feel like they're shipwrecked somewhat from their experience in God because of bad mentoring or bad discipleship. But I'm grateful to hear that it sounds like God's just given you that. But it's not just for you as a receiver.
Yeah.
He's got a plan for you to turn around and to give that to other people, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm a huge believer, and I'll give the credit to Pastor Mark because I can't think of who I heard this from, but I've heard someone say one time that you can't just be a Timothy, you need to also be a Paul. So you can be a Timothy for a season mm-hmm. and receive. So Timothy from the Bible was a disciple of Paul's, and he really received from Paul, and he needed that. And then he ended up going and starting a church and becoming a Paul to those people.
He did.
And that's the whole point of the gospel, is that we get this great news and then we go and share that news, but discipling people through it. So I have now done what was given to me and is still giving to me in the groups that I'm a part of, where there's guys that are younger than me that are single. And there's one guy that I meet with. We do a phone call once a week. And then once a month we go meet up and we have breakfast and we talk and we're going through a workbook together. And hey, what are your struggles? Let me pray for you. Where are you falling short? Are you, what's going on with school? And, you know, my hope is that I am to him what this guy Rory was to me in the beginning, where he looks at my life and he says, man, Matt's marriage, that's what I want in a marriage. And Matt's kids, they're obedient. and they do what he says. And that's how I want my kids to be. And I mean, the fact that he's taking the phone call with me once a week and grabbing breakfast with me, my hope is that there's something there that he sees. And that's what I want to share is, mm-hmm. you know, the gospel with others, but not just here's the gospel and go take it on your own, but hey, let's walk through this together. Let's do life together. Come over and have dinner with my family so you can see how my wife and I interact. Come over and have dinner with my family so you can see how crazy it is to have 4 kids under 6 years old.
I can't imagine that. Now, we have 4 kids as well. As we were talking about before we began this program, my kids are a little bit more spread out in age than yours. You've got what, 6? What are the ages now?
6, 5, 3, and 1.
That's like a countdown minus a few a few of those numbers there. But my goodness, that is a busy household.
Yeah, and they are incredible. I mean, as you can imagine, that age group is, you know, the house can be absolutely crazy sometimes. But they are such a blessing. And my wife, Rachel, is the best mom. She's like, people hear about how many kids we have and she's like, I want another girl, because we've got 1 girl and 3 boys, and people are like, are you guys crazy? But she is really just built for it. She stays at home with the kids and mm-hmm. she is amazing. She's such an incredible mom. I married up and she mm-hmm. just hasn't figured it out yet. That's what I tell people.
I like that. That's really wonderful to really cherish your wife. And that, yeah. that too is something that, regardless of if you say it or whether it's just something they observe, people are learning by observing your relationship with your wife like that.
Yeah.
Because when they see a husband who honors his wife, when they see a husband who cares for his children, and that's the next thing I want to talk about with you. But when they see that, they're automatically impacted. And you've given them a model. I think of back, it would now be back in 1986 when my wife and I were married just 10 years at that point. It was me watching a friend of mine who, the way he would talk to his wife, the way he would speak about his wife, the way that his eyes would shine when he talked about her.
Yeah.
All of those things really convicted me. And I never told him about that until just recently, you know, because it made such a big impact. Well, I was devastated in a good way, and God blessed what I saw and made it to be real in my own life.
Wow.
And I, you know, it never occurred to me until recently that I need to let him know just how much that impacted me. But that's really the truth. And I wrote about it as well in the column I do for Main Street Daily News in Gainesville. It is such an impacting thing. Now let's talk about your kids. One of the main things that a discipler who's a dad, one of their main target audiences would be their children. Have you already seen really fun things happen with your oldest, especially?
Yeah. So, we actually, my wife and I just did, I told you that we did a podcast, or I've done some podcasts. There's a couple at our church that does a podcast on parenting, and they, asked some really challenging questions on the podcast, and it convicted me. Like, how are you doing with ministering to your kids? How are you? And I think that I, after this podcast, realized, man, I am just relying too much on children's church to do the heavy lifting for mm-hmm. my kids. And, you know, we'll pray, we'll read and, in scripture and stuff like that. But I've got a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And I am, my wife would call me Mr. Efficient. I'm always trying to be as efficient as possible. So in my mind, what I realized in this podcast is I never had put this to words, but I was kind of waiting for the 1-year-old to get to the age where I could just talk to them all about the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But my 6-year-old is now missing out because in my mind, it was like, well, it's not, I want to have this conversation. I want to have these group of conversations, but have them with them all at once. And I can't do that. I basically have to have four separate conversations, but it's not just one conversation. It's a lot of different conversations, and it's a lot of,
at different levels of understanding.
Yes, yes, exactly. And so that's where I'm at right now, is in the midst of that, of, we do have conversation. We just went through a sermon series at church of, hard questions, and the children's church did as well. And we've got this app where we get to send in hard questions, and children's church was talking about it, but then the kids are now coming home and talking about it as well. So my oldest, Anivia, she's 6 years old. She is very, very inquisitive, and she is asking tough questions, and it's exciting to see the way that her mind is growing and the way that she thinks about things. And it's exciting that she's excited about God and Jesus, and she doesn't completely understand everything, but she is starting to connect dots, and it's amazing.
I think the scripture that really tells us to teach our children well, you know, the whole thing of when they're walking down the street, opportunities you have to talk, and just everyday activities, even in the home at nighttime or in the morning time when you wake up, around the dinner table or around the breakfast table. I've never talked to a parent who really worked hard with having a family altar or a family devotional time that said of that time, I'm really sorry we spent so much time doing that.
Yeah.
That's never happened. Yeah. I've never had that conversation. I have, however, talked to many dads who let the years go by without having any time, and they regretted it.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to be that kind of a person that we've talked about already that is surprised to find out later, as from their child, that one of the things we didn't do as well as we would have wanted to have done is to talk with them about the gospel, talk with them about God, talk with them about their everyday activities. You know, just an idea. There was a time where I had an opportunity to take my son to a class twice a week. And it was in the mornings early. I took him over for this class that he has attended. He was a young guy. Probably, I want to say in this grade, it was a class probably in fifth or sixth grade or something like that. And as I did, I determined I didn't want to just let that car time be spent in talking about everyday things. So I determined with him, and I said, here's what we're going to do. On the drive times, we're going to be talking about the lineage of Abraham. And so during that year on those drives, we worked all the way through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph.
Wow.
And I'm talking about in-depth conversations, yeah, where I was able then to impart to him the kind of the history from the Bible, and then he would ask questions and we would talk. And the first thing you know, we've arrived there. The next time, the next trip, we would pick back up with it. We would always begin with a review. Okay, and what do you remember about our last talk? And it just happened.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I do the same thing. So mine, being Mr. Efficient, of course, I don't have these conversations when we're at home. It's when we're in the car, generally speaking. And it will be when I'm taking the kids to school in the morning. And so one of the ones we do is, who is Matthew? A disciple of Jesus. And what was Matthew's profession? Mm-hmm. Matthew was a tax collector, and we'll go through
going through who, the disciples.
Yeah. Matthew, then we'll say, who was Mark? Mark was a disciple of Peter. Who was Peter? Peter was a disciple of Jesus. And Luke, who was Luke, and what was Luke's profession? And I'll do the same thing that you're talking about, is we'll recap the next time around.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't remember it, then we'll recap again. And now they're able to say, yes, this was this person. Yeah. This was this person.
This is intentional.
Yeah.
And that's the point. That's what you're doing, and that's what you're wanting to do, Matt. And I just commend it so much. And thank you for having a heart for discipleship. I'm grateful. Be sure and say hello to Mark and Crystal for me over
Absolutely.
There. And I'm just grateful to hear a story of a man who've been impacted in a marvelous way through the gospel, yes, but also through the follow-up and through the loving care of discipleship. In today's world, we call it mentoring a lot, but you've had that, and now you're giving that. You're giving that to others, but you're also now making a plan, and you're and acting on that plan with your children. That's beautiful, man.
Thank you.
Tell us about how anybody can contact your sign company, Creative Signs, Inc.
Yeah, easy phone number, because we've been around for a long time, 407-293-9393.
That is an easy phone number.
My extension's 106. I'm head of sales. And my email address is matt@creativesigns.com, so matt@creativesignsinc.com, and our website is creativesignsinc.com.
That's it. Matt DeSalvatore, thank you for being with me here today. And friends, thank you for joining us as well. We'll catch you the next time on Afternoons with Mike.